Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Tazria, the Matzah Mitzvah. Each week, you hear me say Pardes from Jerusalem, but I'd like to invite you to Pardes in Jerusalem this coming July, July 3rd through 7th, for the 14th Annual Executive Seminar. This year, the group will be studying The Wisdom, Wealth, and a Thousand Wives, The Rise and Fall of King Solomon. The executive seminar is open to everyone, men and women from around the world who wish to combine visiting Israel with the opportunity to study classic Jewish texts and explore their relevance to our lives. Classroom study is complemented by tours throughout Israel, bringing the text to life. It's only a couple of days, July 3rd through 7th, and yet it'll make a huge difference for you. So I urge you to check out the further information in the show notes, on our webpage, and also to call us up to find out more about it. We've had several listeners from the podcast who've joined us at the executive seminar, and I urge you to be one of that group by joining us in Jerusalem this July 3rd through 7th. If you have a longer amount of time, then even more so is to work at Pardes as a student for one of the three-week-long courses that are happening this year in June, July, and in August, too. So check out the notes, and I hope you'll join us. This week, Naaman Novetzky discusses Tazria, the Matzah Mitzvah. Naaman Novetzky is a member of the Pardes faculty. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Naaman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. This Shabbat is one of the four special Shabbatot where we end the Torah reading with a special section relating to seasonal events. This Shabbat, we read Parshat Tachodesh from Exodus chapter 12. It discusses the month of Nisan being chosen as the first month of the year. Hence, we read it this week as we bench Rosh Chodesh for the month of Nisan. It further discusses the laws of the Paschal sacrifice and the eating of matzah and Pesach. As such, I wanted to talk a bit about the mitzvah of matzah for the next 20 minutes or so. If you ask most people why we eat matzah and Pesach, they'd probably answer, as does Ramban Gamliel in our Haggadot, that since we left Egypt in such haste, we didn't have time for our bread to rise. In order to commemorate this event, on Pesach, we only eat matzah and no leavened bread. The truth, though, is not so simple. A close read of the verses in Exodus shows that God actually commanded the people to eat matzah for 7 days before they left Egypt. Regardless of whether or not our bread would have had time to rise, we would have been eating bread. We would have been eating matzah because God commands us to. And if so, we have to answer, why? Why would God command us to do so? And why do we get this idea that it's all because we left in such haste? To answer, we have to look back a little bit more deeply at the structure of this chapter. As we said, Parshat Tachodesh deals with two distinct sets of laws which God relayed to Moshe. First, what is known in the Torah as Chag HaPesach, this Paschal sacrifice that the nation was supposed to eat in Egypt, together with matzah and maror, before the Exodus. And then, a separate command to eat matzah and refrain from eating leavened bread for 7 days, what is known today as Chag HaMatzot. Interestingly, Moshe only relays the first set of laws, those relating to the sacrifice, to the people. The text doesn't mention right here that Moshe also relayed to them the laws regarding the seven-day holiday of eating matzah for that week, which makes us wonder why not. More troubling, though, is the question that we raised before. This set of commandments regarding 7 days of eating matzah is given to Moshe prior to the Exodus, making us question how it relates to a later verse in the chapter, verse 39, which reads, the people baked the dough that they had taken out of Egypt as matzot, ki lo chametz, not leavened, ki gershu mi Mitzrayim, because they were chased out of Egypt. They could not hesitate even a moment. And they didn't have time to make provisions. That verse clearly seems to state that the only reason that we ate matzah on our way out of Egypt was because we didn't have time for the bread to rise. Yet, how does that work with the verses that we mentioned beforehand that seem to have implied that God already commanded the people to eat matzah? If they were commanded to, it has nothing to do with the bread not rising. So how do we understand each verse? Ibn Ezra takes the approach that the real reason that we eat matzah on Pesach is to commemorate the historical event of us not having enough time. Let's read what he says in Thai. Shivat yamim ta'am matzot tochilu. For 7 days you should eat matzah. Zicher la'achilatam b'tzitchem in Mitzrayim. In commemoration of the matzah that we ate as we left Egypt. He says, because God did not command them before the Exodus regarding matzahs for 7 days, only regarding the matzah that you're supposed to eat with the Paschal sacrifice itself, meaning that one night of matzah, not a whole week of matzah. Why then did we eat matzah when we left? Kisham katuv ki lo chametz, because it says in the verse that they didn't have time to make bread. Ve'ilu hayu menichin hamitzrim sheit mahamu ma'at, hayu machmitzini satan. Had the Egyptians let us hesitate even a moment, we would have leavened our dough. Vashivat yamim b'tzitam matzot achlu ad shetava paro b'yom hashvi. And he says, and why then though, if we just didn't have time to bake bread, so why do we celebrate for 7 days not eating matzah, not eating bread? We should only celebrate 1 day in commemoration of that 1 day when they didn't have time to bake. So he adds, "V'hashivat yamim b'tzitam matzot achlu ad shetava paro b'yom hashvi." That in reality, the historical way that things occurred was that the people ate for 7 days. They ate for 7 days because for 7 days they were running and they didn't have time to sit and bake until Kriyat Yamsuf, until the splitting of the sea and the drowning of Paro. Only after that event did the people have time to bake matzah. To bake bread, sorry. What Ibn Ezra is going to have to answer, of course, then is, well, how do we understand why God gives the command beforehand to Moshe about 7 days if the event only occurred afterwards? So even though Ibn Ezra himself doesn't say this explicitly, the Avud Raham, in his explanation of the Haggadah, quotes Rav Yosef Kimchi as saying, "Ma shenitztavu al hamatzot kodem lachen," the fact that God had commanded about matzah beforehand, "haya al shem ha'atid," was about the future. "Shehashem yodeh ha'atidot," since God knows future events, "yada shehaya lahem latzeit mimitzrayim b'chipazon," he knew that in the future they were to leave in haste. "V'afilum hayu rotzim lo hayu yecholim l'achmitz b'tzeikam," and even if they wanted to, they wouldn't have had a chance to go and have their bread rise. "Thus, tziva lechol ha'pesach ha'matzot morim v'lechol shivat yamim matzah." And thus God commanded that we're going to have to eat matzah for 7 days. So according to Rav Yosef Kimchi, the real reason that we eat matzah is to commemorate the fact that we left in such haste that we didn't have time for our bread to rise. God, knowing the future, was able to command this to Moshe beforehand. According to him, though, we'd say, the reason that Moshe only relayed to the people the laws of the Paschal sacrifice and not the laws of this 7-day holiday is because the people wouldn't have understood it at that time. And so, though God tells Moshe in advance about a future holiday that's going to commemorate a future event, Moshe doesn't relay that part to the people. It wouldn't have made any sense to them at that time. The Rabban disagrees. He says, the real reason that we eat matzah is that original command of God. We eat matzah because God, in the beginning of chapter 12, told Moshe that for 7 days, we're going to have to eat matzah. It has nothing to do with the fact that we left in such haste. Of course, then, we have to ask, well, then how does Ramban understand verse 39, which seems to suggest that no, we didn't have enough time? So let's see what Ramban says from the beginning. "Vayikra Moshe l'chozik nei Yisrael v'yomar aleihem." And Moshe called all the elders and told them, "Ha'parsha hazom mikatzeret ba'asher tiva oto Hashem b'parsha shamala." He says, when the verses describe Moshe's relaying of God's commandments to him over to the people, it's brief, it's shortened. "Ki b'yadu asher amar lehem Moshe l'Yisrael ha'kol b'prat v'limeid otam kol ha'anyan." It's known that Moshe really told them everything, every detail. "V'nechlal ha'davar b'takatuv asher tiva Hashem et Moshe." And that's included in the words, "as God commanded Moshe." What Ramban is saying here is that even though in the text itself we only see Moshe relaying to the people the laws of the Paschal sacrifice and not the laws of the 7-day holiday of eating matzah, in reality Moshe relayed over both parts. just that the Torah is brief here and includes the second part in the words, as God commanded Moshe. Thus, according to Ramban, even before the Exodus, Moshe had already relayed to them an explicit command that they have to eat matzah for 7 days. And thus, obviously it would make no difference whether or not it had time to rise, because they weren't allowed to have it rise anyway. So how does he understand verse 39? He says, "V'tam v'yofuot ha-betzik, shafu oto matzot mipnei ha-mitzvah shenitztavu, sa'or lo yimatzei v'vatechem." When it says in the verse that they baked the dough, he says, because of the command that God had said that you shouldn't have any leavened bread. V'amarki gorshu mimitzrayim, and the pasuk continues telling us that they were chased out. Lomar shafu oto baderech b'avor ki gorshu mimitzrayim. He says that came to teach us that they had to bake the bread on the way, en route, because they were chased out. He says that verse 39, which so many people take as the reason that we eat matzah because we didn't have time for the bread to rise, isn't telling us anything about having time for the bread to rise, but telling us where we had to make the matzot. We were always planning on making matzot, but we were originally planning on making them in Egypt. Because we were chased out, we were forced to make them en route. So two different ways of reading the story, but for both, we have to ask a further question. For Ramban, if there's no historical commemoration of leaving in haste, then why is it that God commanded us to eat matzah at all? For Ibn Ezra, we know why God commanded us to eat matzah for 7 days. What we don't know is why God commanded the Jews in Egypt to eat matzah together with their Paschal sacrifice. So let's see what different people say. The Ramban on Devarim Ted Zayin Gimel, which mentions the mitzvah of eating matzah also, tells us, "Hizkir b'matzah shetihiyah lechem oni." He says, matzah here is referred to as lechem oni, as bread of the poor or bread of affliction, similar to what we say in the Haggadah, halach ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. And he says, "V'hi oni zecher ki ayu b'mitzrayim b'lechem tzar u'mayim lachat." And he says, why do we refer to it as lechem oni? To commemorate the fact that when we were in Egypt, we didn't have lots of bread, we didn't have lots of water. The Orchot Chaim follows along this line and brings a story, actually, about the Ibn Ezra, another commentator. And he says that at one point, Hayashavui Bahodu, Ibn Ezra had been a captive in Hodu, Vayu Machilim Oto Lechem Matzah, and they would feed him matzah. V'lo Natnu Lo Lo'olam Chametz, when he was in prison, they never gave him leavened bread. Why? Because it doesn't digest quickly, kechametz, like leavened bread. And so it lasts for a person a lot longer. You could give them a little bit and it'll go a long way. So this anecdote would suggest that perhaps in reality, the people in Egypt as slaves really did eat matzah or some type of similar bread. Why? Because matzah goes far. As we all know, that heavy feeling you get in your stomach after eating a piece of matzah. Matzah sits in your stomach for a long time. And so, if you want to feed someone meager food, give them matzah. According to this, then, Ramban is suggesting that why did God command us to eat matzah for 7 days? Not because we left in such haste. It's not supposed to recall the redemption, but rather, it's supposed to recall slavery. It's lechem oni, a bread of affliction, the bread of the poor. One, of course, might ask on the Ramban, but why would God tell them as they're leaving to eat matzah? They don't have to remember the fact that they were slaves. They were living slavery. One might answer that that's the whole point, that God is giving them an important message here. At the very moment of redemption, he's telling them, don't forget that you were slaves. Even in the midst of redemption, we have to remember where we came from, what life used to be like. And perhaps that's why in the Haggadah, when we mention halach ma'anya, we follow it with an invitation for all who are hungry to come and eat. Right? Because when we're finally redeemed and we're no longer slaves, God tells us, but don't forget that you were slaves. And don't forget others who are in a similar position. Others give a different explanation for why one might eat matzah, why God might have commanded 7 days worth of matzah, or perhaps just the matzah with the Paschal sacrifice. The Ktav Kabbalah suggests that Bnei Israel in Egypt were idolaters, and that really they perhaps were not worthy of redemption. In order to make them worthy, they had to somehow show that they had an allegiance to God. And he suggests that the Paschal sacrifice, together perhaps with the maror and the matzah, showed this. So the Ketav HaKabbalah writes, Be'emet hayu b'Yisrael dverim hamon'in ha'geula. Really, in Israel, there were things that should have prevented the redemption. Kemo she'amru rabotenu, as our sages say, she'ayu avdei avodat elilim b'mitzrayim, that the people were idolaters in Egypt. V'haya ritzono yidbarach l'taram, and God wanted to purify them. So how did he do it? Tziva aleim korban pesach, he commanded them to make the paschal sacrifice. U'bazei yivada ki shavu midarkam hara'ah. And in this it would be known that they had returned from their evil ways. B'shchita te'eloha atzmo asher hayu avdim ota. By killing the very God that they had served. What's the Ketav HaKabbalah suggesting? He says, in Egypt, the Egyptians used to worship the sheep as a god. In commanding the Paschal sacrifice, God was commanding Bnei Israel to take the very thing that those around them, and perhaps Bnei Israel themselves, had worshipped as a god, and to sacrifice it, to kill it, in honor of the real God, Hashem. Thus, the people were making a statement to themselves and to the Egyptians around them that their allegiance was no longer to idols, to false gods, to sheep, but rather to Hashem. The Moreh Nevuchim points out that we might read the mitzvot of Maror and the mitzvah of Matzah in a very similar way. He says, Ulefi shelo hayu avdei avodah zarah makrivim lechem ki im chametz, umarbim bahakravat dvarim hamitukim, umarchim karbonotem bedvash. He says, the ways of idolaters as they sacrifice was that they would sacrifice together with bread, with leavened bread, meaning that whenever they brought a sacrifice, if it was accompanied by some type of bread, it was leavened bread. In addition, they would always bring their sacrifices with something that was sweet, such as honey. V'chein lo timsa b'shum davar mikarbonotei ha'melach, and they never had salt on their sacrifices. Lefichach, hizhir yitala milakriv kol se'or v'chol dvash. And thus, in general, on our sacrifices, we don't bring leavened sacrifices, nor do we bring honey on our sacrifices, but rather, al kol korbancha takriv melach, we're supposed to bring with our korbanot salt. The Moreh Nevuchim here is not referring specifically to the Paschal sacrifices, but to sacrifices in general. That in general, our sacrifices are not accompanied with leavened bread, nor they are accompanied with honey, but rather with salt. One, though, can take exactly what the Rambam says here in the Moreh Nevuchim to the Paschal sacrifice itself, because it too was accompanied not with dvash, not with honey, but with the opposite, with maror, with bitter herbs. In addition, we were told that we have to eat it not with chametz, but rather with matzah. And thus, together, it seems that the package of a Paschal sacrifice with maror and matzah is a statement against idolatry. God commanded right before we left the Exodus to make a statement of allegiance to him, thus perhaps to allow us to merit redemption. If one takes this approach, one might just continue along the lines of saying that that one-night event was continued for a seven-day holiday of eating matzah for the same reason. There's another approach that's given by the Nitziv, which is a little bit more what we might call a drashic type of approach, not a simple sense understanding of the scriptures. Nonetheless, I think it teaches us a very important message. He says, Lo yochal chametz. We should not eat chametz. Why? Kedei lahashrish hazchira balev, so that we can enroot in our hearts the memory, ayidei eze pu'ula hamar'eh umazkir zehenyan, by some type of an action that actually shows us this matter, which is what? Dematza ein bayitaron ayidei tachbulot yidei ha'adam, lahalot ta'isa yoter mehakamach v'amayim. He says, matza is not made through the work of man. It is made of the most basic ingredients, water and flour, which man barely uses his hands to make. You don't have to sit and knead the dough the way you would in order to make a bread. You don't work the dough. You quickly mix it and you stick it into the oven. Ma she'en kein chametz. Chametz, in contrast, is very different. Chametz sholet ba tachbulot adam. Chametz, in contrast, is full of the work of man. Lahalot ha'isa yedei se'or. He has to stick in the yeast, he has to work it, and thus it's going to rise. Mishum hachi hu'ot shekiyum Yisrael hu rak beruach Hashem. He says, as such, it is a sign that the existence of Israel is only due to God. I think one can take what the Nativ is saying and attach it to what we know about Egypt. Egypt at the time was one of the loftiest civilizations. It, first of all, I think is known to have introduced yeast to begin with, and perhaps all of the symbolism that the Nativ is connecting to yeast fits Mitzrayim, fits Egypt very well. Egypt thought of itself as the nation who, due to their own acumen and skill and knowledge, was able to reach the heights that it was. They tended to think that they were very successful, and thus it was all due to themselves that they were successful, and so they would forget, perhaps, about the possibility of there being a God who's really the one running things behind them. And so the Nativ perhaps is suggesting here that part of the reason that God is telling us to eat matzah for 7 days is to move ourselves away from that notion that was so prevalent in Egypt, the notion of, I am great, all is due to me, and to recognize that, no, we're not self-inflated like chametz, but rather we should be humble and flat like the matzah, recognizing that our successes aren't due to ourselves, our existence isn't due to ourselves, but rather to God, to Hashem. The Egyptians who thought that they were so strong all ended up drowning in Yam Suf. The people who had been slaves, on the other hand, were brought out and redeemed, because really it's all in the hands of God. I read another possible explanation in a Haggadah that suggests that if you look at the word chametz and matzah, they're very, very similar. They made up of the same letters, mem and sadi, and then the only difference between the chet and the hay is that small little line that separates the bottom of the hay from the top. And he suggests that really chametz and matzah are very closely related. The only thing that separates them is a teeny bit of time, a moment. Right? If you leave the matzah out 1 minute too long, it becomes chametz. And he suggests that perhaps that too is one of the messages of matzah. The idea of paying attention to the moment, not missing the moment. If you miss the moment, the matzah becomes chametz. And he says that's what happened in Egypt. Had Bnei Israel missed the moment, that 1 second window when Paro said, okay, go, they would have missed redemption. Totally. And perhaps the matzah is supposed to remind us to take those moments, to recognize those moments, and to move them in the positive direction. So we've looked at lots of different ways of understanding the mitzvah of matzah. One, the perhaps most popular one, that it's a symbol of freedom, of redemption, commemorating the haste in which we left Egypt. Another, the exact opposite symbolism, that it's poor man's bread, symbol of slavery. And perhaps there's an important message in having the same piece of food, matzah, simultaneously represent both redemption and slavery, that in the moment of redemption we still have to remember our old status as slaves. We saw also the explanations that it represents freedom from Avodah Zarah, a movement from Avadim to Paro, of slaves to Paro, to Avadim of Hashem, to slaves or servants of God. And finally, the idea of chametz as representing pride and matzah as representing humility. I hope that we're able to take all these different messages to our seders with us and to instill in us all of the different important ideas that have been raised here. Chodesh Tov.
Thank you, Neema. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.